everyone. Welcome to the Parkscope Unprofessional Podcast Hour. My name is Joe. Joining me tonight is Lane. Lane, how are you doing?
I'm doing wonderful, Joseph. Still sick from my big trip, but I got some good medicine. I'm making it through.
That's good to hear. Also joining us is Mike. Mike, how are you doing?
I'm doing wonderful. You're going to hear some crazy noises because we're cooking dinner, but that's okay.
Yeah.
Little outdoor burger action?
Yeah. Also really happy because Les Miles is gone. Boom.
Wow, it seems like we just talked about this. Also joining us is Nick. Nick.
Hey, Joe.
Okay,
hey, Joe.
There we go.
How's your bandwidth?
It seems okay now instead of like you chopping up every 5 seconds.
It was pretty bad.
Wow. Joe, would you say you're with the band?
Yes, I am with the band, or the band is with. So there we go. So let's start off real quick. Halloween Horror Night started. Reviews are coming in, and also the repository opened. Yay!
Hi!
Yay!
Upcharge House.
So we're getting some reviews in. It seems to be mixed with some people we know liking it a lot. So we don't know yet.
I have reversed my opinion on the repository.
What was your original opinion on
it? I thought Upcharge meant a lot more scary and a lot more in your face and a lot more personal.
Mm-hmm. It is. But
I think it's going to be just an Upcharge, lower capacity version of Regular House with some cool VR stuff and more specific actors. I think that's going to be fun. I think it's going to be more of a show than Conga Line Horror Nights House, and that's cool to me.
It's the third Horror Nights show.
Yeah.
/10th house.
Is Chance in it?
And I really like that. So I've flipped on it. I'm excited. I am no longer trying to flip my ticket.
Oh, that would have been awkward because Mike bought the tickets.
Yeah, and I was just going to sell to somebody else.
Yeah, and then we would be like three of us who know each other and this one random person.
Yep.
So, yeah. So we're actually going to be doing that this coming Friday. Not this Friday, but the Friday.
Hi.
So that's going to be fun.
I'm not doing it.
No, you're not doing it, but we are.
Haha. Yeah.
You get to hang out with
me. Because we're cool.
I really don't care.
See, then that's the good thing about an Upcharge House. You can do it if you want to, but you don't have to.
Exactly. Yeah, everybody.
Fun time.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. So also announced.
It's going to be.
Oh, sorry.
No, I'm done.
No, you continue.
I was going to say me and Ann's going to have a real fun, good time together.
Yeah, okay. There you go. Positivity. Yeah. So also, Mardi Gras has been announced, and it's running for 49 continuous nights, and there's going to be a parade every single night. So,
but not a concert.
But not a concert every night. So previously it was like Friday and Saturday they ran parades, like for like three months.
Or when they had a show, right?
Yeah, or when they had a show. But now they made it into like an actual
nighttime parade.
Yeah, a parade that's it's always available, so you don't have to go there and worry, is this parade going or not? It's just going to be playing between these dates.
Is the festival also going to be running?
Yeah.
Okay.
Making the gumbo money.
Love that they're doing this. Mardi Gras is far better than a regular spring night at Universal, and it'll be enough to get me to go on a trip. And I've done it plenty of times for my spring trip, like left Disney to go to just a Mardi Gras night and spent 4 hours, and it's such a good, fun time. I love that they're expanding it so people on their vacation can go on Tuesdays and Wednesdays, not necessarily the night Fallout Boy's there or something.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and then when you go on the weekend, it's like a local fest. So if you go during the week, it's going to be a little bit better.
It'll be better for vacationers.
Yes.
Yeah,
we are.
I think that's the best of a lot of worlds.
And some of those concerts, it was crazy busy too. So having an option of going on a night without a concert will be nice.
And it might spread the people out too. You might spread the locals out a little more.
I'm hopeful for like a good show. Hoping. Maybe like one or two.
Maybe, because
last year was pretty solid.
I a lot of times pick a March or April weekend because of who is playing for Mardi Gras, and it gets me to leave my house and go stay at the resort. So it's clearly a gimmick that works.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
No infringement needed, Derek.
Yep, there you go. And also, you have the new annual pass options that the seasonal pass that has the Mardi Gras days blocked out. So, or the concert days, at least.
The concert days.
Okay.
So
you could still hypothetically go, if you had the seasonal pass, and you were blocked out on the weekends where the shows were, you could still go see Mardi Gras.
I think so, but I'm not sure exactly. You'd have to see with Universal. I'm not sure, but it's something like that. Yeah. So Mardi Gras.
I'm excited.
49 days.
I haven't been. Right. I want to go.
You've never been?
Really great.
Why would you go? No. You have Mardi Gras right next to you.
Because Mardi Gras here is terrible.
It's dirtier. And not in the fun way.
There's
no Diagon Alley.
Not in the suppository.
To hide in?
Yeah.
Parking's a nightmare. There's no place to pee on Mardi Gras Day. Like, all those things.
Yeah.
Sounds like Savannah on St. Patrick's Day.
Like, Lane had to buy a drink every time he wanted to go to the bathroom.
I had, like, 7 Mai Tais. I was basically, like, going in towards the end of the afternoon and being like, tell the guy you want a Sprite, give him this $5 bill, we're all going to the bathroom. I would just tip the crap. Because you're there for, the day we went, we were there for probably 8 hours.
You got to park and get a spot.
Yeah, because it's an all-day tailgate, but with no, like, not a lot of bathrooms.
Yep.
Yeah. That city. But Mardi Gras at Universal is really fun, and there's a lot of bathrooms, and you can stay
already paid the cover for them.
Yeah.
And there are stilt walkers.
Well, no, you do pay for the bathrooms. It's just covered with the cover charge.
Correct.
I've already paid for it.
Mm-hmm. All the stilt walkers. Everything's on stilts. Y'all,
this is totally unrelated, but today the frozen butterbeer is apparently like $7.50 now.
Is that a higher than regular butterbeer price?
It seems high to me.
Said it went up to $7.50.
The slush or the drink?
The frozen one.
Yeah, like at $7.50, I'm like, well, $2.50 more for a dragon.
I saw some people on the
UO. Sounds a lot better.
Yeah.
So
it's crazy.
So I pulled it up
real quick.
I saw some
AP group talk.
Yes, Joe?
Sorry, you guys are breaking up a little bit. So I pulled it up right now. The butterbeer stand, as of January 26th, frozen butterbeer was $6.49. So if it...
That's crazy.
So if it went up, it went up a dollar.
Yeah, but I think they can.
I think that's a little high for a non-alcoholic drink, to be honest.
Yeah, it's a commodity, though. It just doesn't appeal to me, so I'll just be drinking beer.
As of April 2015, frozen butterbeer was $6.
Yeah, that's crazy.
So that's a little high now, and it's not my favorite type of butterbeer, so boom, there we go.
There's a time and place for it, but I think at that price point now, I'll just have a beer instead.
Or pumpkin fizz.
How much is
beer
now?
You have to be in Hogsmeade for that. Beer's like $9.50.
Or a blinky cup of Jack Daniels, Coca-Cola, and a splash of cherry.
A single beer at Universal is the price of a good craft beer six-pack at home.
No, way cheaper than that. Oh, no, actually, I don't know.
Joe, how much is beer in Ohio?
Well, it depends. It depends on what you get.
I mean, and here, I mean, it's $9.50 or $10 for any level.
Yeah,
it's of craft
basically
beer.
What you pay. Yeah.
Yeah.
But you pay like $8 something with tax. So
how much do you pay for pop?
I don't buy pop. So there you go. Boom. So
I don't buy pop either. I buy Coke.
Yeah. We all know the Southern. We know the dialects. We know the all that fun jazz. So. Fear VR.
Was there like some kind of drama with that?
Yeah.
So it was originally called Fear VR 5150 or 5140 or something like that. And that's like the medical code in California for a mental institution. So like this one guy who's like this, I don't know what to call him. He's like one of those pastors who's like incredibly controversial and like likes to go after gay people and such. He went after Universal for stigmatizing. Not Universal. I'm so used to Universal and Hollywood always having some sort of controversy.
Getting in trouble.
Excuse me. Yeah, getting in trouble for their Halloween event. So Knott's Berry Farm he went after, and they canceled the event. It was like the repository, you walk around, and you're in a room. This, you're sitting in a chair, and you're just sitting there, and things happen around you.
So it just wear the headset the whole time?
Yeah. So if anyone has like, it was like they had a experience called the kitchen demo for I think the Oculus Rift back in the day, and it seems a lot like that where you're just kind of looking around you and things escape and you're strapped down so you can't move, so that sort of thing. But that's what that was, and they're not doing it anymore. And they did like a whole complex filming and everything, so I don't know.
It really sounds weird. Like nap time.
for you?
You're sitting in a chair with a little nice thing that's dark, I could close my eyes and take a nap. That sounds like nap time.
Well, there's also headphones they put on you with binaural audio and stuff.
Okay.
So you can get your hair cut?
Yeah, so you can get your hair cut. So you can hear the guy dying up in the vents above you. Yeah. Let's see. Both of those are
So is this like
cuts.
Sounds dangerous?
No, because you actually, it's a VR helmet, so you can look around you and look above you and below you and your sides as all the action is unfolding.
So what I'm hearing is there is no Drew Carey, which means hard pass.
Yes, there is no Drew Carey in this experience. This is a Drew Carey-free experience.
Hero of Cleveland.
Yes, that or LeBron or Nine Inch Nails or Patricia Heaton.
Just Drew Carey.
Or other things that are escaping my mind right now. But there
Drew
you go.
Carey.
Okay, so let's talk SeaWorld.
Yay! Like SeaWorld.
Mike, are you ready to talk SeaWorld? Mike is currently muted right now, I bet. So I'm not even going to bother. Lane, are you there?
I'm ready to talk SeaWorld.
Let's talk SeaWorld. Okie dokie.
I even have an Orlando Sentinel article pulled up.
Boom. I have an Orlando United article pulled up. So,
oh, man. Those guys are good.
Yeah. So for 20... Oops, sorry, Nick.
Huh? I didn't say anything.
Oh, I thought you were going to start into something. So 2017, they have a few new experiences. The first one being a virtual reality experience on Kraken, which is their floorless coaster. This
it's
is going to be slightly different because, like, the helmets are going to be attached to the cars themselves, and mm-hmm. it's optional. And they're saying they're still not going to have any impact on capacity for some odd reason, but somehow I really doubt that. So, yeah, there you go. How Orlando United has it written up was, let's see. The headset is currently in prototype testing, but will be tethered to the coaster to ensure a fully integrated connection, both mechanically and electrically, into the coaster train. Guests will also have the option to not wear the headset if they prefer the original thrill of the coaster. Other changes to Kraken will include a new story where guests will embark on a deep sea mission. There you go. And the story will tie into Atlantis, because why not? so they're going to redesign the queue
and
load
right
area.
By each other.
Yeah, they're going to redesign the queue and load area to increase the passenger turnover rate and loading. And I don't know when, because this is going to have to go down for a while. So
are they going to add like a unload platform? Because right now, you know, Kraken pulls up and people get off and then you get on. So it sounds like to me that they might have like an unload area, like have two cars, one loading, one's unloading.
Yeah, they'll have to do that. So what they'll have to do is they'll have to, since it's a floorless coaster train, they're going to have to build another station with that. You know how like the platforms come out? Yeah. Another one with that,
the floor.
Redo all the sensors, and you're going to have to redo all the queue area and upgrade all your software. So this is going to open by summer 2017, so I wouldn't be surprised if this coaster goes down in January and reopens in like June.
It was important to me that you had like the option of not wearing it, so I think it's cool, like two different experiences.
Yeah.
And I think if they were keeping Dragon Challenge as is going forward, that might be a good solution.
VR.
That would be a great solution for that ride.
Yeah.
Because the aesthetics are not ideal.
No.
That is true. Also opening is a dolphin nursery, giving guests the opportunity to get up and close.
They already got that, though.
It might be another one.
Yeah, this is another one. It's a SeaWorld, and it's things people like.
They literally just redid this. The dolphin nursery was closed for like 6 months while they redid it, like,
are you talking
last year?
Are you talking SeaWorld or Discovery Cove?
SeaWorld, bro. I had an annual pass to SeaWorld.
Well, I don't know what to say. large scale acrylic windows will offer up close viewing, including multiple levels to give kids a face to face perspective with dolphin claves or cal.
Which is what they didn't have. They didn't have a thing where you could look in the tank. It was like a pool that you could look over in and see the baby dolphins.
Yeah, there you go. So this is a little different. You should check out the photos. It's highly kid-friendly.
When I saw the photos.
Highly kid-friendly, especially the dude at the onesie on speaking with the piece of paper. That's pretty
cool. One that it kind of looked like a coral reef around the window or something, right? Like
exactly.
Like, yeah, yeah.
Okay, the next thing. February 11th to May 13th. for four 14 weekends.
Was that based off the 2005 film Dolphin Tale?
No. So this next coming event, February 11th through May 13th, is the Seven Seas Food Festival.
Wait, inspired. At Disney?
Yes.
No, Seven Seas Food Festival.
Yes.
And this is, you'll Seven see a common theme. Inspired by street food from Asia, Caribbean, South America, and the Mediterranean. So they are just doing
Florida.
International Food Fest.
Pretty much it's going to be festivals everywhere all the time. If it's on a food festival, then it's that magical dining experience.
Or a food truck.
Or food trucks.
So you can get their... I think this is a great idea. Because people love this.
SeaWorld has great concerts.
So this is replacing... Nice, yes, because of a thing. They're replacing Redneck. They're replacing bands Brews and Barbecue and Viva La Musica with this.
Yeah.
Or they will be held in conjunction. So they're probably just going to play whatever concerts they want during this, or wait a year, have this festival, and then pay people to come in next year.
Are they still having the concerts?
I'm sure.
I don't know, man. Remember, they struggled.
Food and Wine has concerts.
They struggled, though, for the last couple of years with the whole Shamu thing to get bands.
Well, they'll just
I can't believe they had Alan Jackson. That was crazy.
Well, they'll just get people who don't care, like Ted fucking Nugent and stuff like that.
Yeah, and comedians.
The Nuge is great.
Yeah, he's fantastic. All right.
The Ted Nugent Music Festival of the Seven Seas.
So here's could it be? Could they get Snoop and Weezy to come in for the concert?
Negative. That would not fit their demographics, sir.
That would be amazing.
SeaWorld is a family park, Joe Matt.
Well, they need to get as many people in that park as possible, especially if any legalized weed agenda crosses the legislature.
Oh, Joe.
Soon. For all those...
Is this in relation to one of the next announcements?
No, I guess. Okay. Maybe if you want to flame craft bar, I don't know, something like that.
Oh, I was hoping you were talking about the Electric Ocean, but... We could talk about Flamecraft Bar.
I'm going down the Orlando United list.
I'm on the same link, Joe.
Flamecraft Bar, a new dining location adjacent to Sea Fire Grill along the waterfront area, will provide a great place for beer enthusiasts. Provide a great place, beer enthusiast, a relaxing spot.
Hashtag
Brian. Brian,
I'm so sorry, Brian. I'm so sorry.
Listen, it's hard to blog, y'all.
Did Brian write that?
Who else?
Well, I don't know. Maybe Andy was drinking.
Oh, come on.
You know how Andy gets nowadays. He just can only have one blue moon, and he's tipsy.
Exactly.
Fatherhood's hard, y'all.
Oh, it's coming.
God, we are making fun of them too much right now. Okay, so Craft Beer Bar is happening, and this is the second note in the SeaWorld just being baby Disney. Doing things that people liked 2 years ago, and they're opening a craft beer bar, 16 seasonal brews from local breweries, which there are some good breweries in South Florida.
Yes, there are.
Notably Cigar City with Highlight.
Notably
Jolly Holly.
Yeah, so that was my one request.
Holy crap, what's happening, Mike? Did you fall downstairs with pots and pans?
I had to get a cookie sheet for the burgers, bro.
I'm so sorry, y'all.
This is Joseph's favorite part of the podcast.
Highlight is great. My one request from my local friends for the next trip was Invasion Ale, my new favorite. I like it more than Highlight. Official announcement.
What about Samuel Adams Rebel IPA?
Take it or leave it.
Not a bad choice if you're stuck for 2 hours in the
American Horror Story queue.
Outback Steakhouse in the
Would
Orlando
rather
Airport.
Have a Budweiser. That's my thoughts on Rebel IPA.
What about a 40 ouncer of Foster's?
Dope, definitely an oil can of Foster's. That's a winner as well. I don't know if they're gonna have that at Flamecraft Bar at SeaWorld in summer 2017. Adjacent to the Sea Fire Grill. This can't be that big.
Yeah,
that's my thoughts on this.
And I think is the Sea Fire Grill new or is that old?
No, that's been there. That's it's kind of across from where the Sea Lion show is, kind of by where the tower, the Sky Ride is. It's right there in that area. Like,
if
I don't
a chance. I make it to SeaWorld next weekend, so I'll be able to report on this stuff.
When are you going to SeaWorld?
Saturday morning.
Wait, what?
I want to go ride Mako.
Oh, you got an APA?
No, I'm just going to go and pay money and go ride roller coasters. It's a thing now.
Wow.
I got that new hobby, dog. Roller coasters.
It helps with kidney stones, you know.
Yeah, I heard
it does.
I heard that.
Official.
So
breaking.
Speaking of, we're totally doing Busch Gardens next Halloween, right?
Jeez, no. We're going the second weekend, and we're not doing any of that.
Well, okay. Would you rather have a whole hollow screen or do a repository?
You can do both.
Or we just do Halloween Horror Nights. Dude, just regular one.
On Saturday night, though?
I don't want
to Knott's instead.
I don't want to drive 3 hours.
I want to go to Knott's. Okay. Can we just fly to California?
Can we go to Disney? I hear it's not so scary.
If four people get it, it's $35 a person. Like, it's dirt cheap.
Practically
free. And it's a 90-minute drive each way.
Yeah, so you get a hotel that
But
night.
It's something different, Joseph.
No. Yeah, and all Halloween Horror Nights is different every year. Anyway.
Okay.
So.
You could do both.
No.
Porque no los dos.
All right, fine. Lane and I will go with Anne and Grace and Ashley.
Last
I
want
to go.
That
Nick can go, too.
Yeah, Nick can go, too.
Last thing SeaWorld announced for summer 2017. The Electric Ocean, which also sounds like a direct Avatar Land copy. there's apparently glowing fish, and it's a parade. The ocean comes to life with bioluminescent lighting, music, pathway entertainment, immersing guests following a sea of wonder.
And every single guest is wearing like $20 worth of those glow up necklaces and rings.
Let it glow, Joseph.
Yeah.
Let it glow.
Yeah.
Throwback Thursday to the anglerfish on the
The Seas Run.
What's the freaking arm called?
Kuka
arm. Yeah, Throwback Thursday.
Do they just have a strobe on it?
Yeah.
Who knows? Like, who rides it anymore?
No one.
First tier Fast Pass Plus, baby.
Disney cuts the electrical parade. SeaWorld adds electrical stuff.
Universal has Mardi Gras every night.
Yep.
Every night.
Think about that.
Forever.
So,
don't fail me now. Don't fail me.
They're adding a new experience to the Nautilus Theater.
Okay.
Oh, that's a cool theater.
They're doing the...
Hopefully underutilized.
They're doing an Aquatica Pass member pavilion. So basically, it's just going to be...
What's the show in the Nautilus? They didn't say?
Nope, they didn't say.
Oh, that means they got nothing.
Well, the last time they had a new show, we ended up leaking it anyway, so...
What?
Remember that?
Parks.
Yeah.
Leak scope.
Well, maybe if there's a cool Mardi Gras concert, we can go to Discovery Cove and then hit up the concert.
Discovery Cove.
Money on Discovery Cove.
We can do that. I'm okay with that. That sounds fun.
Oh, Joe gives us permission now.
Yes,
I
give permission.
All you can drink beer, Joe gives permission.
Do you know why we should go? Because Mike is willing to go into a pool. So
it's different.
This is
it's a difference.
Yeah, but
it's not like
you've never.
It's not like Popeye.
Yeah, I know, but like Mike's never seen
go
Mike
to
go into a pool.
Volcano Bay with us.
I'm totally going to Volcano Bay.
Yeah, but I'm just saying.
Shit, that opens soon, you guys.
Mike, do you want to go to the Lazy River with us this next weekend?
Bruh, that's slumming it. I'm staying at the Sapphire Falls.
That's true.
Slumming it.
If there's not a boat to Cabana Bay, I'm not going.
I'm gonna go hang out with my boy Hollywood Huckle because I just want to see him drink and lay in this river and go, this is awesome. That's like one of the things I'm most looking forward to this whole trip.
Do you have one of those pool cups yet, Lane?
I mean, I'm going to get whatever there is.
Yes, they're like $13 and then $10 refills.
I might not go to the parks during the day of this whole trip.
Oh, Lane.
Yeah, but...
Total Lane.
But we can also go to the room and get brews. Hey, Michael.
Ah, Jesus.
Good evening, Michael-san.
That was an accident. Sorry.
Just turned on his camera
Mike,
so you can see his face.
You may want to put a shirt on.
He's a handsome young man.
He's a good-looking guy.
Yeah, I can't believe he has...
ladies should snatch him up.
Yeah, he has a 16.
Damn right.
Joe tried. He failed.
Shout out to Foot Girl.
What was her name again?
I don't know, but she was cute.
Good times. Anyway.
On a semi-related note, I am pumped for Van 55 this year.
That's going to be so much fun. It's like Buffy brought to life.
Van 55. They keep adding more and more stuff to it. Like, they added banners or something.
Yeah, mm-hmm. it's gonna be fun.
We're just gonna chill in Vent 55.
Joe's gonna grease his hair back and wear a leather jacket.
That's what I do every day. So
some tight jeans.
That's also what I do every day.
Aren't you the Fonz?
I cannot repair things by hitting it.
But can you say a?
A. Yeah, so I can do it, but I'm a fake. I'm not a real one, which is sad.
So what are we talking
about? Ah, jeez.
We're going to talk about your trip, Lane.
Oh, man. Okay.
Where to start?
So I took a 7-day Disney cruise out of Barcelona. I had this trip planned for about 2 years. It was awesome. The cruise was on the Disney Magic, which is the first ship in the fleet. So that was kind of cool, being a Disney cruise fan, to go on the first ship. It was a wonderful experience. Everything they say about the Barcelona terminal being awful is not true. The Barcelona terminal is great. It is not exceptional, which is how I related this. This trip was so good. I related everything on a good, great, or good and exceptional were the two levels of excitement that I ran into. So because everything was good that I did this whole time because I was on vacation. And the Disney Magic was awesome. The interior is really nice, very cool. It really exemplifies everything that the Disney cruise line is trying to get to. I did not watch a lot of the shows. I did watch the Tangled show. The Tangled show was awesome. Highly recommend. If you're a Florida person and you live in Orlando and you get a chance to get on the Magic for a night or two, or three or whatever, take it. It is by far the best. The Tangled show was awesome. It's worth it if you're local just to go and watch shows and sit by the pool. What else did I like? So it was in Europe, and we had our stops in Italy. And all the things in Italy are a little further away from all the cities are a little further away from the coast. So you had to take a bus out for your excursions. But that wasn't that weird. You kind of got in a rhythm with it. We had an extra day that got lost because we couldn't get all the way in. Sorry, I'm scrolling back to my pictures now to tell you all these cool things we did. They let you go to the kids' stuff first day, and that was awesome. Okay, I'm back to my pictures. Here's a picture.
What the? Mike, I'm so happy. Mike, just mute your mic.
No.
So let's break this
down.
Enjoy
the country, Joseph. City boy.
If that was the Disney World Railroad, you'd be all like, oh, he's at Disney. But now that it's not, you're like, ah, it sucks.
Pearl Harbor hater.
So we get on the ship, meet Mickey. It's a wonderful time. And then they let you go into the kid stuff. And the kid stuff on the Magic's been recently redone. And I really liked it.
To be all Star Wars and Marvel?
It was mostly Marvel. And it was great. I have pictures of me and these Avengers banners. I have pictures of me in the Iron Man suit, Captain America's shield, the Major. The Toy Story area is really cool, and they had a Seas logo, inexplicably, in one of the kids' areas. And I was like, am I the only one that knows what this is? And yes, my wife made fun of me for it. But Seas logo till I die. So then we got on the ship. I took a lot of cool pictures. The carpets are the new carpets.
Do they match the drapes?
Yes, they do, because the drapes are at least the light shades, lamp shades. Are the same. I don't know how lampshades relate to this body metaphor, but I'm looking at a picture now that I took of the carpet, and they have two ships in the Caribbean, one ship on the West Coast, one ship in Europe, and then it has a castle where Paris is, a castle where Florida is, and a smaller castle where California is, and I thought it was very cool. So that's the lampshades and the carpet are that design. Pool's fun, drinks are fun. I really liked the pub on this. It was not as good as the adult section on the other ship, but I did spend a good amount of time at O'Gills. O'Gills was pretty solid. They had an Irish band play the whole time, and they sang silly fun Irish songs, and I liked it a lot. Shout out to the Disney hipsters, Adam and Andrew, for telling me how good the fine wines were. It was this silly husband and wife combo that played trumpets and saxophones and sang jazz tunes. The statue in the lobby was Mickey with a raincoat on. I have funny pictures of us drunk with this statue. Then I got to take a picture of Captain America. That was pretty cool. Captain America was there. You can't do that at Disney World. He was very official. He told me I was strong. I appreciated that. And then we went to Paolo. Paolo's amazing. I spent about 2 hours there overlooking the Mediterranean, chilling at Paolo. It was a great time. Drank all the limoncello they will give you.
Mangello?
I wish. I wish it was sweet and lemony like that. So Disney Cruise changed their alcohol policy from unlimited let it all hang out, bring your liquor on, which is where we would just bring a bottle of rum, a bottle of vodka, and two bottles of champagne per person onto cruises, which was too much, really. It was too much drinking. So now the rule is two bottles per person per port, which, of course, we're in Italy, so we exploited the bejesus out of that and would bring back three or four every night. I came home from Europe with 11 bottles. And the max is three per couple, according to customs, so I had to get creative with my packing to get a few in each bag. The day we were in Pompeii, we did an excursion that took us to Pompeii, or Naples, took us to Pompeii. It took us to a wine tasting at the bottom of a mountain, Mount Vesuvius, and then we took a 4x4 up to the top of Vesuvius and did a hike. This 4x4 was basically a Kilimanjaro safari vehicle, but with like an interior cabin, like a passenger 15-person cabin. Oh my goodness, this was the scariest road I've ever been on my whole life. Like, I've been on single switchbacks in Hawaii and stuff, and this bus nearly killed me probably 20 times. I was white-knuckled the entire time, just sitting in my seat. And then you got to walk them out of the top of Vesuvius, and that was really cool. The next day we were in Rome. I met up with some friends from Orlando. That was super fun. Shout out to Trig and Kayla. So we took silly pictures with them. We went to the Trevoli Fountain and the Parthenon and the Colosseum. And the Colosseum was big and cool. And then we ate outside of the Vatican and walked through the main lobby of the Vatican, which was a very grandiose building. I've never been to Europe before. I've never been out of the country. So this was very new and exciting to me. And we were still doing tourist stuff by this point because we were early in the trip. The next place we went to, we took a boat from La Spezia. We did see Giorgio Armani's yacht. It is all black. Like, not a joke. It is an all black yacht.
Did you tell Len Testa this, that you saw Armani?
No, I did not. But Giorgio Armani has an all black yacht that's parked at La Spezia. And it stands out like crazy. Like, it looks like the effing Batmobile of yachts.
Does the yacht have another boat inside of it that they take to shore?
I guarantee you it does.
Oh, yes.
So we took like a 200-person passenger boat around this set of towns called Cinque Terre, which is five towns. And they have little vineyards on the hill, and they're these little baby towns. And this was the coolest place I went to of all of them. Those are the pictures, like gorgeous backdrops and swim up from the Mediterranean, and each town was a little further away. And this is the one place on this whole trip outside of Disneyland that I 100% want to come back to. It has a 9-mile backpacking road is one of the ways to access it. They have a train that runs through that they built in the 1870s, I think. Mm-hmm. But a way you can tour this is backpacking in between each of these towns. And that is a trip I want to do as soon as I possibly can.
Nice.
Any questions so far?
No.
Anything y'all are thinking about? I'm going to send y'all a fun picture at this point while I pause. Yay. Pork scope. All right. Continuing with my story. That was the day we were in Livorno. Mm-hmm. And we took a bus to La Spezia. And then this was the day I had the best food I ever had in my whole life. It was a creamy pesto lasagna. And it was glorious. So that was an amazing, amazing day of my life. That day, Tangled the Musical played, and they do this conversion of O'Gills into the Snuggly Duckling, and they play silly Snuggly Duckling bingo, and the whole cast dresses up, and it's a fun time. Like, I like Tangled, I like silly Disney stuff. This day was super fun, and I appreciate it very much. This is part of the most recent redo. It was great, and then we missed our... We went to Paolo Brunch. Paolo Brunch is Paolo Brunch. It's amazing. If you're on the ship and you get a chance. Paolo Brunch is amazing. Paolo Brunch is amazing because they have like six different menus of delicious food. Like, they have a full breakfast list and then this full meats and cheeses and then a full this omelet bar and then a full flatbread selection. So this is my second time Paolo Brunching, and I knew to not fill up because you get too full, you don't get to eat your flatbread. We had 2 days at sea because we couldn't get in for Monte Carlo Day, so I did not get to play blackjack like James Bond. But But that's okay. We'll just go back.
And bring Mike.
We did a few beverage tastings, and that was really fun because it was kind of informative and a good way to meet people, and I like making silly drinks. So we got off Barcelona. We went to Bordeaux. Bordeaux was great, but not relevant to this podcast. And then we went to Disneyland Paris. We checked in to the hotel. There was a lot of security. You can take the RER from town out. And you can buy a ticket anywhere in town that says, I'll take the metro to the RER and take me to Disneyland. And it's like whatever it costs, 14 euros or whichever the cost is, including your metro station. Mm-hmm. Then you just get on the RER and then you just take it 30 minutes and it takes you directly to Disneyland. And by directly, we mean literally directly, like
a monorail.
It's as close as the monorail is to in Disney World to the front gate. Like, it's as close to the front gate of where the, like, Disneyland Paris has this, like, fountainy entrance.
Yeah.
I guess outdoor entrance lobby. Before you get inside. It's got, like, three or four, like, outdoor entrance lobbies before you can go in. But from the train station to the first lobby is as close as the monorail station to the train station at Disney World.
Ooh.
It's that close. And there's very heavy security to get from the random exposed train station into this is a secure area. So Disney Village is, I equate it to City Walk.
Hi. In that
there's a few entrances to it, but that's where the this is a secured place starts. So much like City Walk, where you, if you're driving in with your car, they check your bag before you even get on the escalators to go forward. And then past that, you know it's a secured area, which I like because it gives me peace of mind. Coming from the hotels, the same way, you get a side exit, basically just like the Royal Pacific bag check into City Walk to go into the parks.
Mm-hmm.
So a lot of security. It wasn't off-putting, but it was plentiful. Like, a lot of armed guards, a lot of dogs. But I liked it because in Paris and some of the other big cities, you kind of got passive. You know, like, people come out and ask you, like, when you're clearly a tourist, they're going to ask you for stuff. It's like, ah,
really?
I don't want to buy this rose. I don't want to buy this. Please just stop hassling me.
Yeah.
And when you don't even speak the language, you can't even politely say, just please go away. Thank you.
I got fed up with that.
I'm really surprised it happens in France. That's crazy.
No, it happens.
The Eiffel Tower was awful. Where? Like, we spent probably 3 minutes there. Saw Tom Bricker. But spent 3 minutes there, and I was like, I got to get out of here. There's too many people. Wow. There's so many better things to do in this world than go to tourist spots and get hassled.
Yes.
That's true. And it's worth, like, in my opinion, I'm going to go to less tourist spots now so I don't get hassled.
Mm-hmm.
But that's leading into how much I enjoyed the security guards and how much I enjoyed the bag checks. Because when you were in Disneyland, like, the second you got into this Disney Village, there was nothing. You were in a happy place. You were on vacation.
Good.
You didn't get hassled at all. Oh, side note, up and down the Champs-Élysées and at the Disney Village, they're opening up Five Guys this fall.
Yeah.
Wow.
Woo!
Yep. Champs-Élysées, Five Guys, and Disney Village, Five Guys.
Wow.
Which is great because McDonald's was still garbage food. I ate it many times, but it was very much garbage food.
Did you have Le Royale with cheese?
I did not. Have that. I just got a Big Mac. So McDonald's overseas is great because it just has ordering kiosks and you can order any language and then they just hand you a number.
Yay.
And pay at the counter and it's nice.
The future.
Also, people, if the language barrier is what's keeping you from going overseas, don't worry about it. I spoke none French and was just fine. Okay, we did end up going to a lot of pubs and a lot of either sushi joints or noodle joints because you knew the food was safe and you knew you could find someone to talk to. But, like, the language barrier is not an issue. If you are considering going overseas, please do it. It'll change your life. Like, it's very wonderful.
Yep. Yes, it will.
Disney Village was cool. So we took a bus from the train station, the Disneyland Paris train station, because the hotels are kind of back far away. They're on their own little separate lake.
All 100,000 of them.
There were a lot of hotel rooms. Like, the New York is the first one you come across, and there's a lot. Like, that building alone had a lot of hotel rooms. And then during the race, we ran through Cheyenne and Sequoia, and it felt like you were in an entire like Hollywood set or like a whole ghost town. It felt a lot like Art of Animation before they built anything. Really? Yeah. Why are there so many rooms here?
Because Eisner overbuilt.
There's a lot. Yeah, and so many times.
September 11th.
I told Ashley that this is so many rooms. There are so many rooms here. And you could just feel like walking around that area. And the hotel we stayed at was Newport Bay. And it had two full wings. Like, we basically stayed on the convention center side because they sold race packages on the convention center side. But it had its own, like, full big breakfast station. Like, it was so big, it was two hotels. Like, there was a whole separate check-in desk for the convention center. Crazy. And we stayed over there. So it was, like, big, big hotels. Mm-hmm. Like, felt like sprawling Vegas. Like, I'm going to walk this far to this other building. It was far. The check-in felt very much like Disney World, and I really appreciated that. It was nice. They did check your bags going into the hotel as well. Mm-hmm. Ran them through the machine. Check-in was great. The TVs were great. They had your names on them. They knew it was in English. Also, watching TV in a language you don't understand is very frustrating. It is not calming. Yes. I had to like read books and talk to my wife and stuff because TVs were
worst.
It was awful.
Yeah.
But it felt like Disney World, and I really liked that about it. It kind of felt like you were going somewhere you knew, and this hotel felt like a 90s Disney World hotel.
Like with the TVs even and stuff?
No. This had been redone.
Oh, okay,
so I'm not saying the room itself felt like that. I mean, it was the same size, but it the lobby and the carpets and like it just felt like Boardwalk Beach Club, Yacht Club. Like,
okay,
this was all built at the same time, and like even going from Disney World to there, it's like you used all the same architectural tricks as you did.
What is going on with the music?
Anne's watching Xena the Warrior Princess.
Well,
you can believe that.
Why are you near her then right now?
Because I'm petting Pearl.
Okay, Lane, okay, I'll continue.
There's a lot of hotel rooms at this place.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's like a lot of hotel rooms. We'll start. So we put our stuff down. Room was cool. Pretty big. It was, what did I call it? I called it what are the middle range of hotels called at Disney World?
Moderates.
Moderate.
Oh, I called it a Modilux is what I called it because it felt like the Wilderness Lodge or the lower end deluxes or the higher end moderates. This hotel felt like a Modilux at Disney World. Mm-hmm. We walk in, we knew we needed reservations to go to any of the nice restaurants. So your choices for restaurants at Disneyland Paris are seated 3-4 course meal. That's going to be pretty expensive. We're talking like 80 to 150 euros, like pretty expensive, nice food.
Mm-hmm.
And you're going to want to order it all in advance or else it will take forever. We had some friends go to the Remy restaurant and they said they were there for 3 hours because the guy just never came back.
Oh, geez.
So the server waiter thing takes a little adjusting. But when you get used to it, you just know, you sit down, you order everything you want, and then they just bring it to you when it's ready. And there was no issues with it because you know you're not tipping for them, so they're not like working for extra or trying to fill this glass. They just give you a jug of water, and you just drink out of the jug. We walk in. We ended up reservations at Walt's when we first walked in. That was one of the places I considered wanting to go. And in the lobby, this is no joke, like in the entrance gate, I already told you about the 3 or 4 entrance areas, and one's cool. The first one's cool because it's got a lot of water. And then you go under the hotel, which has the check-in, and then it opens up again to the train station and another entrance level, and then it opens up again into this main street area once you're through the gate, and then there's like 4 head choppers before you get to see the castle.
Mm-hmm.
In this check-in room, it had like super cool concept art. It had the old Discoveryland Tim Delaney picture.
Nice.
I sent it out, I think,
yeah.
But God bless Tim Delaney's Discoveryland pictures. They're so cool. But this was in this check-in lobby, as well as some old Euro Disney train station pictures. And I'll send them out. You can retweet them. But it was just really cool being at Walt's, and you can drink. So we like had a Mai Tai and an IPA at our thing overlooking Main Street. And that was just such a cool thing to be able to, you know, on my adult vacation to drink a beer at this cool place. And you were overlooking Main Street. It was very, very not stuck up, but very nice, but nice from 1992.
Okay.
So that was cool. I'll speed it up a bit. Waltz was awesome. Again, you're going to just want to know how to order before you get in there. So Waltz was like covered in super cool concept art. A lot of pirate stuff, a lot of Main Street stuff, like cool. Mm-hmm. Like I have like 10 pictures of just Mark Davis pirates paintings. Because that was just a whole room at this restaurant. And if you like Mark Davis pirates paintings, this is the coolest thing in the world to you. It's like, as I told Ashley, like 15-year-old Lane would be in absolute heaven right now. Just like, just to be in the presence of all these really cool paintings.
Mm-hmm.
Rush to Space Mountain wrote it. Space Mountain's the bomb. It is the coolest indoor roller coaster I rode all summer. Joe, you rode a few of them with me.
Mm-hmm.
There's cool indoor roller coasters, and this was like exceedingly very intense. It was a very intense ride as well. The rest of Discoveryland, the Nautilus walkthrough was badass. That was really cool. The other thing, so flanking both sides of Main Street, they have one thing called the Discovery Arcade, and it's all pictures of turn of the century kind of steampunk futuristic cities in the future. I only took a picture of one of them. I have the New Orleans one that I took from my friend Michael. Woo. But it's just like a cool steam riverboat and a bunch of cool ironwork. And there's just pretty big pictures and this really ornate gas lamp, lots of crown molding, lots of this, lots of that. And then the other side was the Liberty Tunnels, which makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
On the other side, talking about the French gift from the gift from the French to the United States, all about Liberty and Main Street and such. So that was really awesome. Disneyland Paris is so cool. That park feels time-stamped in 1992, and it feels as if everything was made in 1992 and they haven't really touched it since. And that's a negative to some people and to Disney people, but I took it as cool because it felt like you were in a piece of history. It felt like the more I go to theme parks around the country, the more I learn to appreciate things for which a time they were built in. Because if you go to anything other than Disneyland, Disney World, or Universal Orlando, everything built at a certain time has an age stamp to it.
Mm-hmm.
And nothing feels new and perfect. Joe, do you understand this feeling?
I understand what you mean completely.
Okay, because like, you know, the cool, like that park we went to in Cincinnati, you could feel this was built in this time period. This
King's
was built
Island,
this time.
You mean? That little park in Cincinnati?
Correct. King's Island. I went to a lot of parks that week. They're hard to remember by name.
Okay.
King's Island, you could tell when things were made, and it's kind of fun for us to sit in line and talk on, well, this was made for this, and this is what they were trying to do, and this was made for this. All of Disneyland Paris was made in 1992, and it just rides it on that, like to the point where there's an area that felt like a little cute expansion pad in between Fantasyland and I guess a train station. Mm-hmm. And it had like in between Small World and train station. And it had Storybook Land canal boats and Casey Jr. circus train. And it was all worn. It was cool. It felt like you were in a real cool, old, authentic park. But 1992 is cool and old and authentic to us. And I really appreciated that for what it is.
Okay.
It takes me back to my childhood.
It felt old, and old is cool to me. And I like went to ancient places, and I went to cool places, but this was a cool piece of history to me as a theme park fan that Pirates was stamped then. Pirates was awesome. The storyline is backwards, and that was, in talking to some other people, that was the tiredest of rides that we went on. I said it felt like an old Epcot ride with just like an exhausting amount of audio animatronics. We were going back and forth with, is it 3/4 scale or is it not?
Mm-hmm.
And I think it is not 3/4 scale, but the ceilings are super short compared to Florida. The drops are weird in that Pirates too. I did get to eat at the Blue Lagoon restaurant, and they had a tiki drink with a take-home glass, so I did get a tiki drink from the Blue Lagoon.
Oh, jeez.
That was a really good meal. Again, very expensive, but very, very fun. I very much enjoyed my time at Disneyland Paris, and I kind of liked that it felt worn in.
Okay.
But I think I caught it at a good time because they're doing
so much refurbs.
They're doing so much work to make it nice again. And it did suck that the headliner for the whole property was down.
What's that?
The Big Thunder Mountain and the whole lake was all closed off and all behind walls. The lake was drained. Like, and that's a third of that park. Is that one ride and some of the areas around it.
How was Phantom Manor?
Phantom Manor was weird, super cool, but you could definitely tell it was a lot scarier, and there was, like, they threw in a few jovial things, but the jovial things were out of place. I almost wish they just, and I don't know if those were added later, I don't know the history of Phantom Manor at all. Phantom Manor was scary, and it made it fun. And there was a lot of animatronics in that one too. Like,
my understanding is the French like fun and they like scary, but they don't like the two together. So there's some kind of like conflict there with, because the original Haunted Mansion is funny and scary, but Phantom Manor has to be either or because the French are lunatics.
So the one scene where it was just like the ballroom scene was serious and the attic was very, very serious, and the bride was very murdery, and she had a candlestick, and I don't know, will somebody let me know if she always had this candle there? There's a bride early in the ride, full animatronic, and like a very cool, sweaty 1992 animatronic, like very spaceship.
Like Ellen?
Yeah. So almost all the animatronics were like that, and again, I like kind of cool older stuff, so it didn't bother me that those weren't perfect or as good as they could be because they're timestamped as to what they are. But the bride had a candlestick and I want it to be a hatchet. So like, I don't know if that's always been a candlestick. She was like very murdery to have a candlestick. The storyline made no sense at all. You couldn't pick up on it. It didn't make any sense. It was spooky because it's spooky. If anyone tells you there's a backstory, it's made up. Imagineering made it too implied and not enough realistic. That is that. Any more questions about Phantom Manor?
None really. I've seen a lot about it, so I've...
The singing busts are very out of place.
Oh, yeah, they are. Oh, yes,
so, they have the modern updated singing bust, and I like those. Those are fun. Super cool in Disney World. Love it. Like, oh, it's a silly... Like, we're jumping around this fun graveyard. But there, it wasn't a fun graveyard. They were murdery skeletons for, like, two whole scenes. Please watch this.
You go to
videos.
Hell. You get dragged. Murdery. You go underground with all the coffins opening up.
I love it.
And you're in hell. And the mayor.
It's wonderful.
The mayor has the ghost host narration, welcome. But he's the same model as the Dreamfinder, but he takes off But he takes off his...
100% was the... I said that. I said, that's the Dreamfinder. Yeah. He has a white beard.
And then here's the thing. He takes off his hat to like salute you, but his head's attached to the hat, so the Dreamfinder's decapitated in this ride.
Yep, yes. 100% that happened. I saw that. Yes. And I had that exact. It's weird, man. And like a lot of scary skeletons. Like, I can't say that enough times. There's a saloon scene that, again, it feels like World of Motion or something, but a saloon scene with all like cowboy skeletons. And I'm not sure if they're having fun or if that's when I'm dead or what. I'm going to have to watch this. I only wrote it once, and it was like one of the things we had to go back and do because I didn't even go into Frontierland that much. Phantom Manor was so weird and wonderful.
Cool.
Again, Pirates rank for you?
One more time?
How does the Pirates rank as far as Pirates rides?
It's... I honestly can't give a good opinion because I think it was in poor shape. I guess I would rank it number two out of because Disneyland is best.
Right.
And the good thing about this Pirates is it was un-Johnny Depp tarnished.
Yay!
Which I'm fine with Johnny Depp, and I'm fine with the Pirates movies. I like them very much. Oh, man, old school Pirates is cool. Like... That's the ride I fell in love with. Like, that's why I like all this stuff, is because Pirates of the Caribbean is cool. And, like, drunken pirates chasing people around town. Oh, they did. So it wasn't men chasing women. They had one of each. In the political correctness broom chasing scene. Are y'all familiar?
Yes.
Yep. I think they had one of each. A lot of stuff was down and a lot of stuff. So pirates felt way out of the way. Like if you imagine Disney World where Toontown was, like, like even further out, that's where this pirates is. And it was like I didn't double back and write a second time because it was so tucked away. In the far back. Adventureland was weird. Adventureland clearly was, we were supposed to ride Indiana, we were supposed to put the good Indiana Jones ride, and we never did, but here's where we're putting all our food in Bev. And there was just like 12 counter service restaurants and a Swiss Family Treehouse. They did have some cool cavern tunnel walkthroughs with a really big skull rock. Like, really big. I don't know how big other skull rocks are, but this one felt big. Like makes me excited to go to Shanghai because they had weird Adventureland caverns. What else? Fantasyland was super straightforward. We rode as many dark rides as we could. Pinocchio was down. Snow White was hella scary, but very fun because stupid, silly dark rides are fun. And that's what that was. That was a stupid, silly dark ride. Peter Pan was very straightforward. Nothing out of the ordinary. Nothing exceptional. Anything else? Do you want to head to the other park?
Yeah, sure. Let's go to the other park. Oy.
No, don't badmouth the other park. I'm here to stand up for it.
Oh, boy.
I'm here to stand up for it.
Olane.
I'm here to stand up for it.
Someone has to stand up for it.
Correct, because you know what the other park has.
What?
Ratatouille.
Rock and roller coaster.
Oh. Correct. Those are really good answers.
Armageddon, the special effects show.
That is a skippable answer.
Ratatouille.
The backlot tour. The only Catastrophe Catanion left.
So we did ride that, and you could tell where they integrated, like as its own mini-land, the backlot tour, which was, there were no backlots, there were no stages. This was just a canned ride of that attraction from Hollywood Studios, which is hella ironic because now the one in Orlando doesn't exist anymore. So it was a canned tour of a canned tour of the tour in Hollywood that doesn't exist like that anymore either. It was weird, and it was very, like, you basically did two concentric circles, one way and then one backwards, and then you did Catastrophe Canyon as an exit thing. I wrote it. It was fun. Jeremy Irons and some French girl were the narrators, and that was kind of fun a little bit. They had a cool set of cars. I like cars. Like, they had a Herbie and a RC racer and some old cars. You could definitely tell a lot of the 2002-ness of that area because they had a lot of references to either Pearl Harbor, Armageddon, or 102 Dalmatians.
What about Reign of Fire?
there was entire minutes of... maybe a 20 minutes total of my day where they talked about Reign of Fire.
You know,
and it didn't make any sense to me. Is that a real movie?
Yes, that was, in fact, a real movie.
So
I like that movie.
I assumed it was made up for this ride. That's how weird this
was. That's
how
obscure it is, too.
Correct. Like, we filmed Reign of Fire back here. And I'm like, that sounds like a sample name. You just made this up. So that area and the... that ride is integrated with that weird Reign of Fire set, the Rome is Burning, London's Burning set. And then the words are hard sometimes because it was different in French. The stunt show. The stunt show was right there as well. And on the cruise, we were friends. Yeah, the stunt show. And that was integrated into that. And I think the stunt show would have been cool. I didn't slow down to watch it. So here's the thing about this studio's park. I don't know if y'all watched a walkthrough of it. You probably should. I don't have one because I just tried to live all these moments instead of film them. You go through the gate. It's very straightforward, like a studio gate. Then you have an open courtyard, a little like Universal's thing to the right, like not the first thing straightforward, but the one to the right at Universal Studios Orlando, Universal Studios Park in Florida. And then you go into a big show building, that is a soundstage on the outside. It feels very made up Studio Park Transformers-y. You go inside and it is like a big, it's a big box that they put some theater lighting in, and it was their shitty DCA Main Street thing.
It looks like Sunset Boulevard, but it's all indoors and weird.
It looks like Sunset Boulevard, and it had one corner that was all designed like the new Poly Lobby. It had like a leaky tiki restaurant, but so this restaurant had like a few different facades, but it was basically the whole effing counter service for this whole park.
Sure, sure.
Everyone that had to eat a fried chicken burger. Hold on 1 second.
Nice use of the cough button there.
Da, 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 da,
again,
da,
still coming da, down from da, my cold. Da,
yeah.
The whole counter service for the whole damn park was in this one spot, which was very frustrating at like 1:30 in the afternoon when you're trying to get food. The counter service was awful at this park. Both places, counter service sucked because the lines were too long and they, God, French people do not know how to hurry. Man, that was frustrating. They do not know how to do food quickly at all. Other countries were just fine. The French in Disneyland was awful about food quickly. Every time you needed food quickly. So this park was no exception. And then, so that's on the right side. And then there's basically what feels like the Poly Lobby with the same set of plastic statues and designs. And then the left side was basically your Emporium. But again, this is in a soundstage building with like some paintings and some neon signs. And like, here's some stuff you're familiar with and some stuff you weren't. To the right, they had Crush's Coaster, which this is the one thing Ashley wanted to say of my entire write-up tonight. Crush's Coaster sucks.
What? Really?
Because Crush's Coaster was never open when I needed it to be open.
Oh, okay.
It was either down or had a 95-minute line.
Holy shit.
So that was a pass because you could just go wait 25 minutes and ride Ratatouille, one of the better rides in the entire world. My opinion on... So that's Crush's Coaster, and then you went back. The weird, shitty Toy Story Land was to the left of where I'm talking right now. And then you go right down this little hill into this wonderful expansion pad where they have basically Epcot France with a restaurant and this wonderful ride. And man, guys, this ride is good. This ride is Gringotts good. Like, I enjoyed it very much. It hit on all cylinders. I loved the vehicles. It was kind of a really exciting thing being a theme park nerd and be like, oh my God, I'm on one of these vehicles. Like I wanted to sit in this vehicle for 10 years now and I finally get to go on one. And they had that same big platform that all the trackless dark rides have. That big like circle-y platform thing.
Yep.
So that was cool. The ride vehicles were super cute. The queue is awesome. Gusteau talks to you in both languages. It's an awesome ride. It's as good as Gringotts. And I said that, and then I went back on it the second time, and a whole screen was down. And I was like, this is as good as Gringotts, because the second time I went through, a screen was down.
Okay.
It's a really good ride. I had another one that I said it was as good as, but it was as good as Gringotts. And that's pretty high praise for a little baby ride, because it was a little baby ride, but it was a very, very good small ride. A very, very good modern dark ride. Is what this ride was. Not a lot of physical effects. So it's not really on Spider-Man or Forbidden Journeys level.
Mm-hmm.
But it had a similar set to Gringotts, and that made it wonderful. The scale was a lot smaller. It wasn't a very tall building, and you never went up or down. So you were all on the same level, basically. Do y'all have any questions about that?
Nope.
All right. Hey, Michael. Nope, he was going away, not coming back. That ride was awesome. So that park has a darn good Tower of Terror. We rode Tower of Terror probably 4 or 5 times.
Yeah. Well, that's the
Tower of Terror is awesome.
That's the California Adventure one.
Nope, it is better than the California Adventure one.
Why?
Why? Because I think
because it's in France.
There's two sets of load areas.
I don't
know how the California one works, but I think there's 6 sets of entrances to your three drop towers?
Yeah, that's what California has.
Okay, yeah. Well then it's the same as California, and Joe's being mean about it. which is fine. That's okay. So I really enjoyed it, but it's not the same as one as California has because it doesn't have a collector.
Womp womp. Too soon.
Thank you, Nicholas.
It's
not
joke.
Too soon because they're not even done. They're still running it as Tower of Terror without any letters on it.
Well, it's just letters.
It's
we
just
can't
the Costco
anyway.
Building now.
Yeah, well, they're just going to spray paint military stuff on it and call it a Transformers ride.
Yeah, they're going to put some barcodes on the side and some fake ventilation.
Yeah, at least put real ventilation in. Damn, I need a job.
Yeah.
I liked this park. It needs hugs, but it doesn't deserve any hugs yet because you got to clean up the other park. You got to freshen the other park like you should. It was the cleanest thing in all of Europe still. So that was nice. Outside of our very expensive France hotel, Paris hotel, Disneyland was the hotels were very nice and clean. Again, it was very similar to a Disney World experience. My official verdict on Disneyland Paris is anytime I'm in Europe, I will probably spend the last weekend at Disneyland.
Okay.
It was that homey. It made me that happy. I now have warm, fuzzy feelings for that. Like I have warm, fuzzy feelings for Disneyland.
Okay.
Which far exceed my warm, fuzzy feelings for the Magic Kingdom in Orlando.
Mm-hmm.
It made me very happy. If you like Disney World or Disneyland, Disneyland Paris will hit on a lot of the same notes. And it'll bring you that Disney feeling, which is a cheesy thing to say, but I'm tired and it really was nice. I liked it very much. The show on the castle was very projection-y. So did that, the castle show, Huck it in here to tell me, but did that have like World of Color water fountains in it
yes,
at one
it
point?
Does. It, no, it still
yes,
does.
Yes, it did.
It does.
All right. So that was drained and not Damn. Running when I saw it, but the projection show still was pretty solid.
Mm-hmm.
It was a solid show. So our friend Cameron, Disney Dweller, went earlier this summer, and he said, go watch this Mickey and the Magician show. Go watch this Mickey and the Magician show. And we watched it, and the closest thing I can equate it to was a cruise line show. Because here's a loose plot of something magical, old man, young man kind of thing. Mickey was bilingual, and he talked a lot with his mouth fingers. But
with
there was just
fingers?
Weird.
Mouth yeah. fingers.
So mouth fingers is when I'm doing it with my hands, but it's a podcast. Mouth fingers is like the stage show at the castle at Walt Disney World.
Yeah.
You use your trigger finger and your middle finger in the suit to make your mouth and your eyes blink.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So he was doing that the whole time. And I think that's impressive that the actor and or actress can do these mouth fingers and blink fingers. So Mickey did that, and it was a very fun show, but it was very much like a cruise show in that here's a loose plot, and then we're going to just sing the Disney songs you want to hear over the top of it. So you got to hear Circle of Life. You got to hear Let It Go. You got to hear a bunch of Peter Pan stuff. Oh, my goodness, Europeans love Peter Pan.
Well, yeah, it makes
There's
sense.
There's Peter Pan in everything. So
What's
much
Peter
Pan,
Pan, man.
So much.
What's wrong with Peter Pan?
Well, nothing. I find him a little young, but Wendy was French in one of the shows, and that was kind of cool. I might have been Disney Dreams Wendy was French in. So that show is also worth seeing if you're sitting at home and you like to YouTube things. Disney Dreams is kind of fun, and the YouTube will be just as good as seeing it in person. And then we ran Run Disney Race. I don't know how many Run Disney Race fans we have on this particular podcast, but I like it, so I'm going to talk about it a little bit. A wonderful race experience. They had this big festival tent set up in Disney Village, kind of close to the hotel we were staying in, and it was like a big semi-permanent tent. Emphasis on the semi-permanent, because it was not very permanent. But it was nice. You checked in, you got your wristband for your coast-to-coast, or Castle de Chateau. Race started at 7. I ran it. It was fun. First 3 miles through the parks, they said on the 5K day there were 21 characters in the 5K, and the 5K was all in the parks. So the race we ran was 3 miles all in the parks, and then 10 miles just kind of chilling around. The last two are mile 11 or 12, or 11 to 12, was through Disney Village, and that was kind of cool because there were fans or people clapping. But the rest of it, it was probably my favorite. I'm not gonna say it's my favorite on Disney race. It was my favorite blend of it was all the good things about a big race with the big castle and the big music and the big characters, like a high dollar race. But then it had a lot of the fun stuff of running a local race too, because you just ran through this town and it was just people outside their apartments and they were yelling Ali, Ali, Ali at you the whole time. And that was fun. Again, if you get a chance to do this race, please go do it. It was an absolute blast. It was better than a run Disney race in the States. They lined people up in five waves and then started people like 100 people at a time every minute or so. And this was because the run through the parks was first. So you were basically had, there was no pinches. There was no too crowded where you had to slow down. Took great castle pictures. Again, took a picture with Captain America. It was Captain America's first weekend at Disneyland Paris. Mm-hmm. Nice. Was Sunday. So that was cool. I really enjoyed the race. Not a lot of fanfare at the finish or after the finish line. The finish line was great. They had the mile. I'm going to say it anyways. The mile markers were at every kilometer. So there were 13 different mile markers. And, you know, Run Disney kind of does their mile markers up big. And it was no different here, but they didn't have any characters on any of the mile markers. Instead, they were just their 2D boards with lights on them. And they had like one prop in the picture. So you were like holding a torch or holding a frying pan or holding a dozen roses. I mean, you could probably look up somebody else that ran it and took pictures of all these things. I was just huffing and puffing trying to get through. There's a little hill in the middle if you're not into hills. Then we did run through Hotel Cheyenne and Hotel Santa Fe. And I took some pictures in front of car stuff because I liked it. I want to say it was Hotel Cheyenne. It was really cool because it felt like an old West town with saloons, but it was just kind of a motel with saloon doors. And it looked like an old Wild West ghost town, but it was a motel. I don't know how else to put it.
Okay.
But that's when I was like, oh my God. Oh my God. There's that many more rooms that I can't see around this lake. This is my other request for you, Parkscope people. Parkscope listeners, tell me what all has happened in this lake around the hotels. There's a big square lake that it feels like a show bowl. It feels like the lake in between the yacht club and the boardwalk. I know Michael Eisner wanted to put a show there. I can feel it in my bones. My mind just ran for days on all the possibilities of what this could have been. And they weren't even running ferries on it. So it was just this big lake I had to walk around every time because we were the furthest hotel away and I had to walk 0.7 miles to the entrance gate. But I would like to know what was in that water show bowl and what was the plan to be there. I'm very curious about it.
Okay.
Does that make any sense?
Yes.
That makes sense.
All right. Well, I'm tapping out.
Okay. So important thing is that Meg tried the Bavarian pretzel stand at Halloween Horror Nights, and she says it's amazing. So
amazing.
This needs to happen.
That's high praise. She knows her pretzels.
I'm looking at photos right now, and they look amazing.
Joe, were you going to eat anything other than pretzels at Halloween Horror Nights?
I don't think so.
All pretzels, 4 days.
All pretzels. So,
all pretzels, Matt.
So, Lane, where can we find you at?
At Parkscope Lane. I have a new account. I'm going to use it for my theme park stuff.
Me too.
Please follow it there.
Okay. Nick, where can we find you at?
At Parkscope Nick.
Cool.
And Halloween Horror Night soon.
Yeah, that too. Yep. Whoa. Popped a lot there. Mike, are you there?
Yeah.
Where can we find you at?
At Lou Mangiello.
There we go.
Free tours.
Yeah, free tours. Mike is the anti-Lou Mangiello. He's also a lawyer, but he inherited all the height that Lou Mangiello had. He sucked it out of him. So. Jesus Christ. What, Dan?
Did you just call me Dan?
No, I said Ann. No,
he said.
Damn oh, it, but guess where you can find me?
Where can we find you at?
At Parkscope Ann.
There we go. There we go.
I like blue better.
Oh, boy.
So my aforementioned Lane will buy you a drink if you listen to our show. Meetup will be announced on the Parkscope Lane account, and it will happen next weekend.
There you go.
No one else is affiliated with that. It's just me.
Okay, there you go. We're going to run away, so it's only Lane. So you can find all of us at parkscope.net or at Parkscope. Make sure to give us a review on iTunes, please. Pretty please, with sugar on top. And on behalf of everyone, have a good night.
Joe, before you leave, though.
Yes.
How about those articles on parkscope.net recently?
Oh, yes. We have two series of articles going right now. My buddy Jeff is writing the top 30 never-built Disney attractions. His past one was on the Incredibles dark ride that was never built, and all the bullshit that happened after California Adventure opened and flopped hard, including them adding that crazy X Games show. And also we have our buddy Alan, who's doing the top attraction and themed rides of like all 50 continents of the United States. So that's going to be something. So go check that out. And we're also working with Alan, and we're going to actually host a database of every known dark ride in America. That's our census for dark rides.
You mean the DRDB?
I guess so, yeah. We could call it that.
DRDB.parkscope.net?
Yeah, sure, why not?
Okay, someone's going to go buy that.
Cool, let's do it. Okay.
Can we have a birth date on that?
I don't know. Maybe. We could try.
We'll do the best we can.
Yes. So, Joseph? Mike, do you want to lead us out?
Love everybody. Hit everything. Congo loose. Repository next Friday. Woo!
Woo!
Oh, Champs-Élysées. Au soleil, sous la pluie, à midi ou à minuit, il y a tout ce que vous voulez aux Champs-Élysées.